Blog Talk Radio.
Extra point is up, and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and let me tell you something. If you go outside today and you see these small yellow things on your car, it's called pollen. It's thick, and it is terrible. It's got me all clogged up. Eyes are running. It's really, really bad, bad pollen today. But pollen means baseball season. And believe it or not, next week we're finally going to get Assistant General Manager of the Bowie Bay Sox, Phil Ryan, here to talk a little bit of baseball. The Nats are really struggling. The Mets are really playing well. Yankees are kind of okay. So, you know, the Orioles are doing pretty well, better than anyone thought. So, you know, I thought we'd talk a little baseball with Phil next week. And then, of course, today we've got our WrestleMania recap segment. Fit with Joy. Joy Henry's going to come in and give us that WrestleMania recap as we've been following that leading up to WrestleMania and now post WrestleMania. And then on the back end of the show, Super Referee Craig Muckle to break down the Wizards in their first round contest versus the Toronto Raptors, as well as what else is going to go on in the Eastern Conference. Is LeBron going to win this thing? But before we do that, speaking of baseball, you know, I had a great morning this morning, an absolute great morning. Think of a more special guest than the newest baseball fan out there, the heir apparent to the throne, the little lawyer, Keith III, Fallon Howard. Fallon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So for the listening audience who doesn't know, Coach Howard does have two wonderful girls, Kennedy and Fallon. And so Fallon's been able to join me this morning because we had a conversation, and I remember her going, Fallon, I remember it was your first Terrapins football game. I told you that was going to be really intense, and you enjoyed that. And then you had the basketball game, which you and I went together, and that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But when you told me you went to a baseball game, I was like, wait a minute. College baseball, Big Ten baseball. It was cold out there that day.
Mm-hmm.
Tell our listening audience,
yes.
What was that like for you?
It was different because I'm used to like football and basketball, much more exciting games. But it was interesting. I would say the first four innings, but by like the fifth inning, they lost me a little bit. It was cold. It was getting kind of repetitive, a little boring. So, but we won. It was against Illinois. Last Friday.
Oh, okay.
So I would go to another one.
Do you have to pay?
No,
to get into these games?
Not if you're a student. So, no, I got in for free. So.
Okay, good, because I know you'd be asking the Extra Points Radio Show for the money to get into the game, and they wouldn't have it. So good to know that. So did you learn anything?
Yeah.
Did you learn anything from the game or how it's played or what have you?
Yeah, so I went with my roommate and my other friend. My other friend played baseball in high school, so he was trying to show us, like, the different positions, just how the game works in general, about the umpires, about the dugout, like, all the terms and stuff that I definitely knew nothing about. So it was interesting to learn more about it.
Now, you're a millennial, and you said that it lost you around the fifth inning. little bored. It
yeah.
got cold outside. This and that. What would
yeah.
you do, you know, to try and bring more millennials to the game? What would you do with baseball to kind of make it more millennial friendly?
Honestly, it's just long. So maybe if they shortened it, or I don't know, they have to do something. Some games in between, some like better announcers. I don't know. There's nothing flashy about baseball. You go to a basketball game, there's a nice halftime show, and there's just more going on. But like at a baseball game, it's just a bunch of old people kind of sitting around eating hot dogs, and it gets old very quickly.
And you said, right, you mentioned the old people eating hot dogs. Not every parent listens to Offset and Migos like yours, so I'm sure that you were struggling with those older parents. So Fallon, I loved having that conversation with you this morning, and glad you were able to call in. And I guess Fear the Turtle, right?
Yeah, of course. UMD 2020.
2020. Yeah, can't come
yeah.
too soon. Very good. Now, what's the next game you're going to go to? What's the next sport that you're going to go to?
I got to check out field hockey. I think I have to check out field hockey next.
Right. Right. Now, of course, Coach Howard always recommended you run track or you do some sort of sport. Tennis was the one that he paid for a little while.
Yeah.
Maryland? What about Maryland tennis? Will you be able to go out there and see a match?
Yeah, I want to. They just moved the tennis courts, so hopefully with the new tennis courts, I'll be able to go to a few matches and see.
Good. And then one last question yeah. before we're going to go over to our pay attention topics. The last question is, you mentioned
mm-hmm.
working out. Now, I know that they got really nice facilities over there. I've been there. I know your roommate
yeah.
works at the gym. Tell us
mm-hmm.
about how's that going for you. How's your workout regimen going?
Yeah, it's going good. It was definitely better first semester, but I still find time to get in the gym at least twice a week. I start
mm-hmm.
with some cardio, some laps. I'll do the bike or the elliptical. Then I'll go up to the weight room and do some core and leg workout. So, yeah, it's been good.
Man.
So far.
Well, I tell you, you know what? When I look at you, you look real familiar to a guy at the University of Pittsburgh who was 119 pounds, but it was chiseled. So keep up the hard work in the classroom and off, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. So thank you for joining the Extra Points Radio Show.
Mm-hmm, no problem. Thank you.
There you go. So Fallon Howard, outstanding job as always. Great, great job there. And, hey, maybe we'll build in a segment for her and see see what she can do. Maybe there's a tennis segment out there. So thank you, Fallon, for joining us. Let's move now to our pay attention topics. And we only have one topic today, but I think it's a good one. Our pay attention topic for today, Mark Sanchez. You remember him? Remember the guy that was at USC? He's like the golden boy. Like before there was Matt Leinart, there was Mark Sanchez, dark hair, dashing eyes. I mean, this guy had it all. Won the Heisman, won a national championship. He really, really had it all. Unfortunately for Mark, though, he came across some hard times. Mark, I'll use his quote, unknowing supplement contaminant. In other words, he got caught with a PED. So now, Mark, you can't do that. That's against the rules, and so you're going to be suspended. So Mark Sanchez suspended for 4 games for cheating. He doesn't have a team. He wanted everyone to know, and he put this on Instagram that he tested positive 30 days prior to. I'm sorry, he tested clean 30 days prior to the dirty test, and then he tested clean 12 days after the test. So, you know, so I don't know why he's telling us all that, because all we care about is the day he tested. I mean, that's really all we care about. And, yeah, he's a third stringer with the Bears, but he was a mentor to Mitchell Trubisky. So that's kind of tough, you know, to have the mentor using illegal substances to get an advantage on a team. I'm sure at third string, he's a veteran now. He's been playing since, what, 05, 09, something like that. He's a veteran player, so he's probably getting a league minimum, $780,000, which is nothing to sneeze at. But you know, not a good deal, not a good look for Mitchell Trubisky to have to follow this guy. Sanchez was the overall pick in the NFL draft back in 09. He started 72 games, 72 games as a starter for the Jets and Eagles. And then the last couple of years, he's been a backup with the Cowboys, and then last year, third string with Chicago. Now, he also mentioned, Sanchez mentioned, that he has passed 72 drug tests in his career. That's a lot of drug tests, and kudos to the NFL for really, really getting that out there, that you cannot do drugs, and if you do, it will be not for long. So good for him. You know, that he went that long, but ultimately you got caught. And, I mean, I guess that's kind of symbolism. You know, if you cheat, you're going to get caught, you know, and do it the old-fashioned way, play by the rules, you know, get up an extra hour early, you know, work out, eat right, live right. If you do that, I think you'll win. But if you're doing performance enhancement drugs, the way this league is trying to track you down with 72 tests, since 2009, so that means he would be going into, last year was his ninth year, so he's getting drug tested 8 times a season, but there are only 16 games. So if they do it during the regular season, he's getting drug tested every other week. So, you know, now if it's over a year's time, that's still a lot. I mean, that's still an awful lot of drug testing, so you just can't use it. Now, of course, he's saying that he didn't know that this supplement was in whatever he was drinking or eating or whatever. That's what they always say, and I never believe them. You know what's going in there. You know, I bought some no salt corn the other day in a can. But if you read the label, it has some salt in it. It's not 0%. There's no such thing. I mean, in order to preserve it that long, they got to put some salt in it. I know what's going into my body. I think Mark Sanchez knows too. So we'll see if the Bears want to pick him back up. If not, give an opportunity to a young guy. You know, there's another RG3 out there somewhere. Give him an opportunity to make a team. And Sanchez has made a ton of money. Sanchez is good. He does not need another dime. So anyway, that's our pay attention topic for this week. Again, we want to thank our special guest, Fallon Howard, for coming in and telling us all about her experience at a Maryland baseball game. She won't see me at that. It's too cold. So anyway, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. Chuck's going to get us on board, take a quick break, and then we will come back, fit with Joy Henry to come in and talk a little WrestleMania recap. And then, like I said, on the back half of the show, Super Referee Craig Muckle to come in and break down the Wizards, whether or not they can get through Toronto. And then if they get through Toronto, what does it look like in the next round and all things Eastern Conference NBA playoff action? And then, of course, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. We do need money. And if you spent your money on the WrestleMania pay-per-view last week, you dropped a pretty penny. Vincent Kennedy McMahon made an awful lot of money. And once again, he's done it, you know, the showcase, the Super Bowl for the WWE, which is WrestleMania. So we want to bring in our fitness guru, Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, to talk about WrestleMania and give us a little recap on all things WrestleMania, which was from New Orleans this year. So Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, are you there?
Hey there, world. It's your girl. Yes, I am here with your Fit with Joy tidbit. So you did steal a little bit of it with the PEDs and Mark Sanchez, and your beloved Wizards got hit just recently with Jordy Meeks. So that's
whoa,
not what
whoa, whoa, wait.
Training.
That's breaking
that's
news.
That's not why.
That's breaking news here. Wait a minute now. Are you saying to me the local home team also has a guy that just got hit with the PED bug? Tell us about that.
That's right. His whiz has a lot of jizz in it, okay? He needs to put down those supplements and hit it with Joy to prepare you properly with your own body mechanics. You don't need any other things, okay? So try to know more of those things where you can, oh, my gosh, something in my water and that kind of thing. Jordy Meeks, come on, man. Like.
Right, I mean,
like, come
he's
on.
Lucky to be in the league. Right, he's lucky to
very
be in the
much
league.
So.
I'm surprised.
And wasn't he
yeah,
asking
I'm surprised
for
to hear
a
that.
Trade earlier? He was asking for a trade.
Yeah, he wasn't playing enough. Yeah, I recall that. He wasn't playing enough, and he wanted to be traded.
Yeah, the PEDs ain't going to help you, bro. You got to get in the gym.
No. Yeah, he peed, and his whiz didn't come out right. So that's terrible. No, I did not know. That's breaking news here. I wasn't aware of I know you are a Wizards insider, all thing monumental sports. You're an insider, so I get it. But, wow, that's breaking news there. So we got two people, one with a whole bunch of celebrity, and then the other one who's basically an unknown commodity on the Wizards. He's probably the 12th guy, and he's doing PEDs. That's terrible. So you're right.
That is,
you're right. They
that
gotta,
is exactly right.
They gotta
that is
work
exactly
out.
Right.
They got to get in the gym.
I mean,
they got to get in the gym.
Of course. Of course. And to wrestle with that thought process and to be a role model, and just thinking of how many kids look up to you, you're bringing up the next generation, you can't do things like that. You just said Mark Sanchez was a mentor on the Chicago Bears to the newbie that is Matt Trubisky. You can't do those things. You got to set examples. And as I remember, if I recall, Mark Sanchez was following the wrong thing. Remember when he ran into the butt of his center? Come on.
Oh,
come
Lord,
on.
Don't remind like, me. Don't remind
come
me.
On,
Simon. That was that guy's career. That guy's career will be known for that right there, the butt play.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of butt wrestling, look at Rikishi. Rikishi.
Oh, yeah, the
Rikishi.
Stink face. Yeah.
I used to just
Rikishi.
Call it the butt butt. I used to just call it. See, there are different kind of athletes and or lack thereof, but just figures, you can call it, in wrestling. And WrestleMania, they just bring them all out there. I don't recall Rikishi being on the spread, but, you know, pun intended, the spread. But that just reminds me of the butt butt and what you call the stink face is what it's called.
Yeah, stink face.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine being the guy that has to job to a stink face. That would not be. There's got to be a better way to make a living. But tell us about WrestleMania and the recap. It's all over now. Water under the bridge, and they're already starting to prepare for next year's WrestleMania. What were the big highlights? You know, who the winners, losers? What's your recap?
Well, I mean, Ronda Rousey, wrestling, MMA, she came in there, did her thing, Hollywood, and delivered. This Vince McMahon machine that produced Stephanie and had her go in the ring after 11 years and three kids at 40-something with her partner, who's now the mastermind and the man since, just marvelous. The fans loved it. They just absolutely ate it up. Ronda Rowdy Rousey came there and just wrecked the place.
So now let me back up. Now you were you actually there on site reporting, or because I mean you telling the story so vividly, how did you know how well they did? Did you get it on pay per view or how?
In spirit, because here's the thing: WWE has this universe and a network. Now, for whatever intents and purposes, I will probably say it could be between my service provider in New York for whatever reason, they're a tri-state area-based company, so that shouldn't have been a thing. But I'll go ahead and say that maybe that was part of it, but I couldn't see the picture. I couldn't get it on my laptop. For whatever reason, it did not work.
Vince got you, okey-doke. Yeah.
Well, you know, New York City, in a sense, is known for the scam, so I'm sure that they were privy to the fact that we're only going to get the network for the WWE purpose, and then go ahead and, after the free trial of that month, disconnect. So, funny thing, they follow up after the fact with a feature that they're going to send out to subscribers, and you can watch the recap. I don't want to watch it after the fact. I mean, you have the steps that they've taken from the matches of the women going to Battle Royale, right? I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
But as you were reporting to me, as I was trying to reboot and refresh my screen, that it was on Twitter. How is that possible that you were able to watch it, you said, on Twitter?
Yeah. Twitter had it, you know, pretty much by the second. I mean, you really didn't have to pay for it. People would just post stuff, little videos, and I knew what was going on. I was able to follow the story. I did not see the Rousey match, but it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, Triple H, who's now the COO and he's the heir apparent, Stephanie is the blood heir apparent. She's three kids. And then Rousey, and then, of course, the Olympian Kurt Angle. They pulled this off, huh? They were able to really make a match that looked legitimate. Is that would you agree with that?
Oh, just stunning. I mean, just all the fixtures, the workings, from what I understand, everyone loved it. Ronda Rousey, as much as the hype was, she lived up to it. Literally physically. She picked them up and threw up.
Well, I liked her ring outfit. She paid homage to Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yes.
And with the kilt and the Rowdy shirt. So that was really cool. What else? What else did you pick
up? Oh, yeah, and especially speaking of paying homage, you got Charlotte, the big win over Asuka?
Right, that's it. Asuka.
It's close enough, right?
But
the way they spell it is confusing.
Yeah,
I'm reading my notes.
Asuka.
There you go, people, behind the scenes, when keeping it media goes wrong. I don't have a problem. We don't have that budget yet, but you know, one of these days they'll put enunciations or pronounce it properly. But yeah, so Charlotte was able to break that streak. Man, was that a big event. And downing her father's wardrobe, a robe for that matter. So it just all falls into line. The homage, the passing of the torch. You know, I love that Olympic phrase. So
well,
I'm going to
put
that in there because I'm an athlete. I ran track. But just that whole fact of the father passes it on to daughter, just as you brought on your daughter earlier, which was just a magnificent moment. It's just that we got to pass it and pay it forward.
Well, that's true. And, you know, for the listening audience, who may or may not be wrestling fans, or at least not as rabid as we are, Ashley Flair, who goes by the ring name Charlotte, is the daughter of 16-time world heavyweight champion and two-time only wrestler in history that is a two-time Hall of Famer, Nature Boy Ric Flair. And so Charlotte put her SmackDown women's title up, and they really stole the night, it sounds like. And you're right, that robe was an epic robe. So the women, once again, are really getting it done in WWE. I know they had the Women's Battle Royal, and then, of course, the Nia Jax match against Kim Possible. At least that was a pretty good one as well. What else did you see?
Oh, just straight tripping on them. You know, that whole video and just paying homage again. I just like to keep going back to that, you know. You got people who've paved the way, and you just got to continue on those footsteps and continue to make way for others and just on that same kind of lineage and what we're talking about. Be a good mentor. I'm sure I gave you the 2-point conversion of Jordy Meeks after you had already made the crowd privy to PEDs. Now we just got to continue to do the right thing, you know. And it looks like some people try to, in a sense, cash in on that when people pave the way. And so you have particularly Carmella, who has the Money in the Bank briefcase, right?
Yeah, now Carmella is the Staten Island character. She's like, I guess, some sort of cool girl from the hood of Staten Island. That's kind of her gimmick. Is that who
yeah,
we're talking about here?
Yeah. She came
along.
Is
she a homegirl?
End zone and the whole thing, you know, and trying to get the Italian kind of swag on that particular thing. Yeah, that Carmella.
Appreciate that little version of her right there. I'm sure they would appreciate that. DC crowd probably head spinning right now. So Carmella did what with the Money in the Bank? Tell us, what is the Money in the Bank? What does that mean?
So Money in the Bank is pretty much a title. It gives you the opportunity once you climb up those coveted steel ladder, the steps on the ladder. And it's very, very difficult because you got a whole bunch of people going for it, you know. You got to hit somebody over the head. You got to throw them off the ladder if they're getting too close. You might be on one side of the ladder. Your person might be on the other side of the ladder. And then you're hitting them, but you're climbing. You're hitting them, and you're climbing. But you're going toe to toe, and you're just hitting each other. And all of a sudden, somebody pulls you down from the ladder. So you have to be so strategic and intricate on the way you're going to go ahead and capture it. And so Carmella, she's been able to hold that title, and she's been able to, at any point, with that particular Money in the Bank, that luggage, that coveted amount of money, cash it in for that matter, literally physically, and take the title from, at this time, Charlotte, who has a SmackDown Women's title. And it just seems like she was trying to cash it in. People thought that she would have done it at WrestleMania, but from what I understand is that she does definitely try to do it at Raw, for that matter. I know you're like a big, big, like you said, Ric Flair fan, and you like Charlotte for that lineage matter, the heritage that's passed on. What do you think about that? I don't know what your take on Carmella. I think you said she's going to be trying to become a new diva, or so to speak. Not diva, but the show Total Divas.
Yeah, I think Carmella's character is interesting because, I mean, athletically, I haven't really seen it yet. You know, to me, she doesn't appear as fit as some of the other ladies. I think the gimmick is kind of stale, to be honest with you. I mean, anybody can play these, you know, quote-unquote Guido-type characters. So I think they probably – I think she'd be ideal with a character change. She came in as Enzo's valet and then kind of took that into parlaying that into her own wrestling stuff. But she's had this Money in the Bank briefcase forever now. She just runs around with it. I mean, putting her in the ring,
yeah.
What is royalty in the Flair?
Yeah.
Is a joke, really. But I guess they got to give her a push.
It just makes you wonder, yeah. What
yeah,
the man is doing. And from what I understand is she came in when Flair already had her bowed and wrestled and did her thing. And she, just like she did sneakily before, she's had a number of occasions where she's tried to cash in the briefcase against particular individuals after they've already went toe-to-toe and exhausted all their energy and was so surely has lost. But, hey, fourth time's a charm, I guess. The three previous ones didn't work. She was able to end the match in a couple of seconds with an unmatched, tired-out Flair. She tried her hardest. She stood to her feet, but a super kick from Carmella ended that real quick, and it ended her five-month title reign. So as much as we're like,
wow,
woo, we love the fact that she had the wardrobe on and was able to do her thing at WrestleMania, this is cheesy. I call it cheesy. To me, it's like a video game tease where it's like finish them, and they're in the daze and the stupor, like at the end of Mortal Kombat, and they're just kind of lullying and falling but not really quite on the ground, and then you just do an ultimate up or down, fast punch, kick, and something just in fatality-wise.
Well, that's one thing about sports entertainment that people may not get is that these choreographed dances are scripted months in advance, and I think that they had Asuka, who was undefeated. Let me back up. I think they knew that Carmella, that character is not very good. So in order to get that character over, they had to make Asuka undefeated. They had to make Charlotte Flair the champion, have those two have an epic battle so that the next night when Carmella gets this little, you know, scammy win, that now she's over. You know, we're using these terms, over, which means that the crowd either approves or doesn't approve heavily. A push. Push means that, you know, like Roman Reigns is getting an amazing push. It's really when the WWE decides to take one wrestler and say, we're going to go all in to market this person to sell products. So, wow. So interesting stuff. So you are from New York, in New York, but you don't like Carmella. That's interesting. And what else did you come up with in your recap? We got 2 more minutes. What else did you come up with?
Oh, well, going along the lines of under, over, on top, whatever you want to call it, I think John Cena is about, his foot is halfway out of the WWE, as they would call it. People say halfway out of this world. Their foot is in the coffin or the grave, for that matter. The Undertaker took him under. And it was just such an easy, graceful way he went into the afterlife. And I think he's already there. He's just partially here in spirit with the wrestling audience, and he's ready to take it big with the whole Hollywood. I mean, what do you think? I see that from my perception and sense from what I'm gathering on that match or whatever you want to call it. What do you say?
Yeah, so good question there. I think that a lot of wrestlers, when they get to elite status, and I would say that the Rock is at elite status, Stone Cold, Undertaker, now Cena, Flair, these people, I think they figured out that they can actually go another 10 years in sports and entertainment, but not grind. So what they can do is they can go and do a movie, an action movie for $20 million, and then maybe do one night with Vince just to stay relevant, you know. And then Cena, to his credit, he jobbed to The Undertaker, you know, but he also had a movie coming out. And I think he had a movie but 2 weeks ago that came out. So for him, it's just more exposure. He sat out in the crowd until his match came, and then which was great for those kids. So I think that you have to reach elite status, though, to get there. So there's thousands, tens of thousands of guys who don't even reach main event status. You know what I mean? And so I'm looking for the first woman wrestler to be able to cross over, reach that elite status, and really do some things outside of the ring. I know that Ivory made it to the WWE Hall of Fame, and that's great, but that's not getting $20 million for a movie. So that's where I think that one goes, and you know, it'll be interesting to see who the next elite wrestler is who's got that type of crossover appeal. Right now, I'm not sure if I see one. Maybe Seth Rollins, maybe, but I don't know if I see one right now. Brock Lesnar is not one because he can't talk. So he's not one. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But we got just a few more minutes. We got about we got 2 minutes left. So tell me what else you got out of it, or anything else you want for the good of the audience.
Well, I just want to push my candidacy forward. I know that Carmella, if she can make it, just like we have some people in office that you just wonder how they did it and all those different things, and you can apply from what you want in that message or lack thereof. But you could check me out on YouTube, Joy Henry Tough Enough. And if you think that I can go up against any one of them, I mean, look at Ronda. She was able to cross over. I've got so many athleticism and opportunities within me, the potential just overflowing. So if you give me that opportunity, just check it out. Get my views up. Make it go viral. Once again, it's Joy Henry, Tough Enough. That's on YouTube. It's 57 seconds of glory, okay? And you'll see. You'll be the judge.
57 seconds of glory. Very interesting. So, fit with Joy, Joy Henry.
I'm glad
always
you like
a pleasure
it.
Having you
fit
on.
Fit with Joy. Come on.
Glad.
You got to get it with it.
I did. So glad that you could squeeze us in to a very busy and hectic schedule. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm sure there's a gymnasium somewhere where you can eat a 45-pound plate. And we look forward to having you back on to give us a little bit more on the WWE and what's going on in the world of WWE.
Oh, most definitely. I appreciate it. It's always great to be with you every Saturday.
Very good. Fit with Joy, Joy Henry. Great job. Great job by her. And of course, you know, we were talking about the Kurt Angle match with Triple H and that. And, you know, as always, the music that comes on whenever Super Referee Craig Russell is about to enter the studio, this music is from Kurt Angle's interview to come in. So it's the words of Titus. You pretty simple. pretty simple. So, let's bring in the referee, Greg Humphrey. Are you there?
I am. Good morning. And I have the privilege of sharing this music with Kurt Angle. Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct. And he just had a big main event match at WrestleMania with Ronda Rousey as his tag team partner, going up against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And so we just got a recap from our fitness guru, Fit with Joy. Joy Henry gave us a recap on that. So, yes, so both of you have copyrights to that song. And but speaking of you, Sup, now, on this show, back in probably preseason October, you and I went back and forth about the Wizards. And I remember a show in midseason where you made a very powerful statement that they need to do something with this front line. There's some guys out there. You named some guys, and they did nothing. And then you and I, as the season wound down, we started talking about, hey, they're fourth. They could slide all the way to eighth. Well, guess what? They're officially
eighth. Yeah.
All right. So now Scott Brooks came out, and he blasted them, and he said they're selfish, and they don't work hard, this, that, and the other. Please break down this Wizards team for us again, and what do they have any chance in this first round against the Toronto Raptors?
Well, let me answer the easy question first, which is, do they have any chance against the Toronto Raptors? To which I will say, there's only one answer, but because you and I have been involved with sports for so long, we probably have to give the answer that there's always a chance. That's why they play the games. But in realism, I don't see the Wizards winning more than one game. Toronto is just too good this year, and, you know, they're learning from their previous playoff experiences and, you know, trials and tribulations. So I think Toronto is poised to be a serious challenger in for the Eastern Conference, to win the Eastern Conference Championship. I am not saying that they will win, because you've heard me say on record here that the Cavaliers are the champs of the East until dethroned otherwise. And I think the champs earn the benefit of that doubt, especially with LeBron. But I just don't see the Wizards having enough. I mean, you know, you're going back as you did was right on point, because, you know, there was one point the Wizards could have been, frankly, could have been the top seed. Certainly they were third or fourth, and now they're eighth, and they were, frankly, lucky to get in. So they're definitely on the harder side of the bracket, because if they were to find their way through Toronto, Cleveland would be next. And I just don't see that being a winning proposition either. So they didn't do themselves any favor. To answer the
referee, Craig Buckle, on the Extra Points radio show, and he's telling us right now, point blank, they got a winning chance because they got to play the game. But you wouldn't put any money on it. You got them winning one game in the first round. And even if a miracle happens, then they got to go up against LeBron.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
yeah.
You know,
so, okay.
Yeah.
So,
they didn't help themselves.
Okay. So what you're saying to me is, this time next Saturday, they're done. I mean, it's over.
Well,
so then what?
Well, here's the bottom line, and you know, you hit on it before. They really have to figure out what to do with that front line, and also, you know, and we actually talked about this as well. You know, do they break up Beal and Wall and use one of them as trade? You know, in a bait for a trade, because they definitely have to improve themselves. And it's really a matter of, are the Wizards going to want to engage in some of the free agent activity that may take place, or are they going to want to take some of the assets that they have and try to bolster themselves? So, I mean, that's a decision they have to make. But I think, and we've talked about this, almost ad nauseum, they really have to address that front line. I just don't see how Marcin Gortat and Markieff Morris, I think it is, how how they're going to be serviceable and, you know, make them competitive in the, you know, in well, frankly, not just in the Eastern Conference, but frankly, to get in the playoffs. I mean, they really need something. And, you know, the fact that Blake Griffin was let go by the Clippers to Detroit, and if you let's just go back. I said over the summer, Blake Griffin would likely be available once Chris Paul was ultimately he was. So to me, there's an opportunity. Now, who knows? I'm just going to put this out there. Given what's going on in San Antonio, there's people believe Kawhi Leonard will not be back. So is that an opportunity for the Wizards? I mean, let's face it. If Kawhi wants to be the man somewhere, I think Washington's a perfect team for it because, you know, he's more established than either Beal or Wall, and we can certainly argue that point at another time if you'd like. But the bottom line is Kawhi Leonard fills a lot of gaps. You've got a bona fide scorer. You've got a bona fide defender. You've got a bona fide player that the other team has to devote special attention to. That will then free up either Wall or Beal or both of them, whoever's there. And if Otto Porter's still there, then, you know, all of a sudden you can say the Wizards are taking a step in the right direction. I don't think adding someone like Kawhi is going to be the be-all, end-all, but it's certainly a big step in the right direction.
Well, you know, you mentioned Leonard, and you know, I was thinking about Otto Porter. You've got three guys that have $100 million contracts in Wall, Beal, and Porter. Porter probably being the third of that bunch. So, I mean, it's going to be tough to break that up. I mean, everybody signed. I mean, even the coach, you know, I kind of bring this up every now and again, but even the coach signed a pretty hefty deal, long-term deal, $7 million for 5 years. And I'm not suggesting that it's the coach's fault by no means, but, I mean, how much losing are you going to do before you go, well, you know. So I think they're in real big trouble. Here's what I think, and I've said this before and it hasn't happened. Ernie Grunfeld, I mean, they're at a real crossroads right now. Is that maybe where they go? I know the Redskins talked about, you know, the owner not being happy with Bruce Allen. Is Leon just like maybe like, okay, enough's enough with Grunfeld. We gotta get this fixed. Is that a move or you don't touch that?
Well, okay. Well, here's what I would say. First of all, and I'm gonna take a look at, you know, my team or the team I used to like to follow. And I'm still following them, but you know who I'm talking about. You know, they brought Jeff Hornacek in, who I was not a big fan of, but, you know, he was okay. I mean, he didn't do a horrible job, but let's face facts. He didn't get a lot of help from the GM, Phil Jackson, at the time. Well, we know where Phil is. Phil's back in Montana chilling now. And now Hornacek is gone. So I say that to mean that I think, you know, they gave Scott Brooks that huge contract, and you're right. I don't think he'll be culpable for what happened this year, but I think in the next year or two, he's going to be, whether it's justified or not. I think, you know, Ernie Grunfeld is going to have to do something. And and we talked about it last year as well. I'd like to see Ernie be a little more aggressive, and I think, you know, that's going to be predicated on what ownership wants to do. But if you spent that kind of money on Scott Brooks, I think you're going to want to, you're trying to say that we want to be competitive and we want to, you know, be right there. So I think at some point Ernie Grunfeld is going to have to demonstrate that same level of priority that they put on the coaching staff. And I'm not sure we've seen it yet.
Well, you know, you're listening to Super Referee Craig Muckle on the Extra Points Radio Show. So, but how do you undo these $300 million contracts? I mean, teams aren't going to want to, you know, I doubt that anyone's going to pay Otto Porter what the Wizards paid him. I mean, that's been proven. He tried to get it in free agency and he couldn't. Is he any good without Wall? Is Wall any good without Beal? I mean, they're guards. I mean, I just don't see a team spending that kind of money. Now, I guess the Celtics did with Kyrie, I guess, but I don't see how they blow this up. I think they got to go through the draft a player, and then just build this bench. And that's why I keep going back to Grunfeld, because I think you need a general manager that can build a bench. This bench is that Bahimi is. He's got to be the worst player in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, and you make a good point. And look, I think ultimately the draft is the place to build a team, and we can talk about the Sixers at another time. But the Sixers, you know, a lot of people laughed at them for a number of years. Look at them now. You know, they're in, was it the sixth seed? And they actually could do a lot of damage in the playoffs. That's not a team I would want to play if I'm anyone in the East, even telling a Toronto or a Cleveland, to be honest with you. So the draft is the place to go. It's going to require patience. And I don't know if Washington's ownership want to be that patient. That's why I suggested the Kawhi Leonard as a potential opportunity if he's available. And it may not be that, you know, it depends who holds the cards in San Antonio on that. But in the next year or two, there's going to be some other movement. I mean, in another season or two, do the Wizards want to try to go after the local guy, Kevin Durant, and bring him back? You know, Kevin's got a lot of roots here, obviously. And, you know, he's applauded heavily. Does he even want to come back here? My guess would be, why would he if I'm in Golden State? But, you know, I think to your point, if the Wizards can build a team, start building some other pieces this year, maybe Kevin looks at Washington, I can come back home and help my hometown team. So I think the Wizards have some hard decisions to make. You never know in the NBA that you need a really good salary cap guru and you need the chips to fall your way in the draft. And frankly, it's like a chemistry experiment. You just got to put stuff together and ultimately see what happens and hope it doesn't blow up in your face.
Well, you know, and that's why I'm thinking, you know, maybe they got to make a move with Grunfeld, but I don't know. But, you know, I'm concerned about, we talked earlier on the program about this Meeks guard who's got caught up with PEDs. This is a guy that asked for a trade midseason. He wasn't happy with his minutes. I mean, this is the kind of player they have on the bench. And I think they got to really – I don't understand why Mike Scott has not really logged in a bunch of minutes. I'm not a big Mike Scott fan, but, I mean, if you need some scoring energy, he's your guy. They have not played him a lot. I mean, they look bad against Orlando, and that's why I got to keep going back to Scott Brooks. There just doesn't seem to be any fire in this team. And that does come from the top with the coach. Is there any chance that you look at Scott Brooks as, you know, maybe this didn't work out? Or when does that come? Does that, if they go out 4-1 like you're predicting, do you look at Scott Brooks now for next year, or is that just not even on the table?
Look, in my mind, that's not on the table this year. And frankly, in my mind, I'm willing to give Scott Brooks the benefit of the doubt. I personally would give him, you know, 2 years because, look, he didn't have John Wall for a good part of the season this year. And, you know, every team has injuries. So that's not, quote unquote, an excuse. But, you know, that's a good reason. And you know, Scott doesn't do the shopping. He just cooks the meal.
Right.
Going back to the Bill Belichick reference that, you know, or Bill Parcells reference that, exactly, that I'm just the chef here. I didn't go to the grocery store. So Scott didn't go to the grocery store. So I think, I don't think personally it's fair to whack the coach when you don't have the tools to do anything. So I just don't, I think he was limited there. He did, I don't want to say the best that he could do, because certainly I think we can agree the Wizards underachieved in eighth place. But, you know.
I mean, but if you look at
Toronto.
But if you look at Toronto, they've got DeRozan, they've got Lowry. Who's their third star?
They have a couple of front – Valanciunas, I think, is on their front line, and there's another – they got another tall – you know, another presence
but
on the front line.
But if we
completely
can't,
lunching.
If we can't name them.
Yeah, if we
if
can't
we
name
can't
them,
name
I know.
Are,
I can't name
right.
them.
And
but,
so what I'm saying, yeah, what I'm saying.
But,
then, and
but you know what? But you don't need superstars. Well,
so
yeah.
Are
you
suggesting that Wall and Beal aren't superstars? I mean, I'd give you Porter, but Wall and Beal, they're superstars.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I would say Toronto's front line is way better than the Wizards' front line. Because if it wasn't,
wow,
they wouldn't be in the first place. Yeah, and how long have we talked about the Wizards' front line? Okay.
All
so, thank you. And, you know, it
well,
hasn't gotten any better.
Two games are in Toronto. If they go down 2-0 and they come back home, do they shake up the starting lineup? And if they do, how would they even shake it up?
You got to have something to shake it up with. And I don't,
right.
You know, and I don't think that they really do. You know, look, when the Wizards, and I guess it was, you know, last season, you know, Marcin Gortat ended up being a pretty darn good role player for the Wizards. And, you know, Markieff Morris also overachieved. But, and they even, you know, when they had Nene, they were certainly better than they are now with Jan Mahimi. So, let's face facts. They haven't upgraded that position enough. They frankly had, they seem to make, in my mind, a conscious decision to say, we're going to stay on pat and improve. Well, I think what's actually happened is they stood pat and everyone else improved around them. And,
right.
Now they're left looking like, gee, we really didn't, you know, we really thought we had some ingredients here and we didn't really have anything. And those
wow.
things get exposed. Those things get exposed when people start getting hurt. And at the end of the day, my view would be the Wizards probably are in a position to either, you know, blow it up in quotes, but keeping one or both of Beal and Wall, and then really blowing up the front line. That's where the difference is going to be made. Look, I mean, look at all the people in the, I mean, this is a guard-driven league typically, but it's a star-driven league. LeBron, front line. Philadelphia, you got Embiid on the front line, and you have Ben Simmons, who might as well be a front line player, although he's, you know, at 6'10 and really, you know, is the point guard. You know, so, I mean, those are two teams right there. I mean, you know, in Boston, Kyrie and certainly when Gordon Hayward comes back, you know, they're, you know, Kyrie's the guard and, you know, Hayward's
the
swing man there.
You bring up an interesting point then. If you said at the top of your segment that, you know, LeBron's the champion until dethroned, who faces the champ in the East? You know, you've named a couple, you know, suspects in the Sixers and you know, maybe the Celtics. I don't think the Celtics do it without Kyrie. But who plays LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals? We know it's not the Wizards.
Wow. No, it's not. So, at the end of the day, I think Toronto is going to be there. And I think Toronto is the best team to do the job. So
yeah,
I'm going to stick
with
Toronto
too. Yeah, I would have went with Toronto too. Just experience alone, you know, they've been in the playoffs now in the last couple of years. They're just the experience alone, I think that they would get the nod.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, you know, let's look at the Raptors. They suffered some very tough seventh game defeats the last couple of years. You know, while those are painful, you learn from those. And I think not only do the players learn, but Dwayne Casey, the coach, has learned. And so I think that that's going to make them much, much, much tougher. And I'm not suggesting yet that they will beat the Cavaliers, but they are poised to do it. Ultimately, I have to see it.
See it to believe it. Super Referee Craig Muckle, hey, we always appreciate you coming in. Basketball season, at least on the college side, is over. NBA playoffs, so we're going to ask you to come back a couple more weeks. take us through these playoffs, then hopefully the Wizards pull an upset here, but I don't see it.
Yeah, if we're talking about the Wizards in the second round, then, you know, we'll have to reevaluate some things here, but I just don't see it.
I just don't see it either. Hey, man, enjoy the rest of your weekend. It's a great week out there.
Thanks.
Weekend out there. Get out with your family and enjoy.
All right, appreciate it. You too, man. Take care.
Super referee Craig Muckle, always just full of knowledge when it comes to this NBA and this hoop game, just full of knowledge. So, what we'd like to do now is our two-minute warning. And our two-minute warning is really all about time, and it's time for the Wizards to make some sort of move. I don't know what that move is, but the time is now. They already know they're going to be out in the first round. They've got to do something. Time equals money. And every minute wasted is a dollar wasted. So just keep that in mind. Every minute wasted is a dollar wasted. And the Wizards have already wasted a lot. So wish them the best in their upcoming series. Prediction. So lo and behold, last week, we had a great week last week. We are 29-29, which makes us 500. So remember now, when this show first started, we first started doing predictions, I said if I could get to 50%, which is 500, that's batting 500. If I'm in the major leagues, I'm making all kinds of money if I'm batting 500, that a sponsor would take me to Vegas. Well, I'm at 500. So I'm waiting for that sponsor to call in and say, hey, I'm taking you to Vegas with me because you know how to pick games. So in the meantime, let me go ahead and get our predictions in for this week. Only going to do three this week. I got the Wizards in an upset after I just trashed them for 20 minutes in an upset of Toronto in game one as John Wall, who somewhat looks like Coach Howard, so I'm told, John Wall will have an outstanding game and lead the Wizards to victory, and they'll go 1-0 over Toronto. I got the Caps bouncing back. Everybody said, here they go again. They're the biggest choking dogs on the planet. Well, I got the dogs saying, nope, we're gonna come back, and we're going to even this thing up before we head to Columbus. So I got the Caps over the Blue Jackets in Columbus. And then I got the Nets, who are struggling. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on, but I got them beating the Rockies today. Nets over Rockies. So that's that one. Hey, as always, you can check us out on the internet, on the website, www.extrapointsllc.com. If you are looking for a speaker to motivate, engage, and inspire your team, book me. This week, I'm actually going to be, or next week, I'm going to be out at Suitland High School speaking at the football banquet. Shout out to Coach Shield. And next week, we're going to have his MVP. I won't say the name, but his MVP will be a guest on our show as he'll be getting an award on Wednesday night when I'm there. So I'm excited about that. And then I mentioned book. Can always get a book on ebook or paperback. You can go to Amazon.com. The Extra Points of Life, my story, or you can go to extrapointsllc.com. Always reach us on Twitter. We stay on Twitter at extrapointsllc. Hey, another great show. We'll have Assistant General Manager of the Bowie Bay Sox, Phil Rye, on next week to talk a little bit of baseball. Of course, Pitt with Joy Henry, to give us what's going on now, what's the next pay-per-view for the WWE. Give us some fitness tips as well. And then, of course, we'll slide in Super Referee Craig Muckle to see what the Wizards are doing. So, hey, great show. Thanks so much, Fallon Howard, for coming in early in the show, which was an hour ago, and telling us about University of Maryland. Hey, we'll talk to you next week. And as always, the Extra Point is up, and it is good.
Does he have a vintage moment?